I get to use that line each time because it's a new audience, except for the board that has to bear with me each time. The board has been meeting today with each group. This obviously is our meeting with the registrar stakeholder group. If you're not one of the registrar stakeholder group members or board member, then you are an observer, and you'll have to go where we take you, I guess. You don't have to get off. You just have to stay quiet. We've tried to arrange these sessions so that we get right to the heart of substantive discussions, plow right in. A little bit of preparatory work with suggestions of topics from both groups, and the topics that we receive from the registrar stakeholder group were policy establishment in the context of discussion over the RAA and the board CEO search. And equally, we suggested asking you all, what qualities do you think we ought to be seeking in a new CEO? Discussion of the ethics guidelines, what are your top three concerns and proposals to address them? What is the view of registrars with respect to the registrar or reseller role versus the registry role in taking down domain names being used for illegal purposes? Update on discussion between registries and law enforcement. What are the barriers to improving collaboration? I suspect that should have been written as registrars and law enforcement. And feedback on the Jazz final report. Having said all that, let me mention that board members are seated many along the front row. I think there's a few distributed elsewhere. I see Bill Graham and back, and who's that hiding? That must be Sebastian, and here's Bertrand. Let me turn things over to Mason to run things, and we'll be happy to be responsive. This is, in principle, a two-way exchange, but from my point of view, far better for us to be listening. We want to hear concrete, specific things. Feel free to raise any questions, but even more strongly, feel free to offer quite specific suggestions and get to the heart of the matter as rapidly as we can. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Steve. My name is Mason Cole, chair of the Registrar Stakeholder Group, at least for one more day when I step down to assume a seat on the GNSO Council. I know that there's been quite a bit of discussion this week about the RAA, the Registrar Accreditation Agreement, and policies associated with that. I'd like to lead off with that topic, if I may, and then perhaps in this order we can talk about the following. We can move from that to the law enforcement discussion, discuss domain name takedowns, and then go from there to the Jazz report. And then we'll see how we're doing on time after that. So the registrars and staff, particularly our XCOM and Kurt and Tim Cole, have been having discussions about the RAA process. I might ask Kurt to give just a brief update from the staff's point of view on how we arrived at where we are, and then I'll be happy to follow up with the registrar's side of that.
Check. Sorry, Mason, is it all right if I go? Or Steve? As the board knows, one of the topics can you hear me now? Okay. Yeah, one of the topics that's been widely discussed here is the process for amending the Registrar Accreditation Agreement, including the recommendations of law enforcement for amending the agreement and the GAC support of that. So it's been sort of an intense trilateral discussion, at least, with a lot of other constituencies supporting that. And we're talking about this now, and I suspect the board's going to hear about it when they meet with the GAC later today. And so with an idea of facilitating that, ICANN published a paper a while ago in response to a board request that that recommended that, in part, ICANN and registrars start negotiating contract amendments right away. They would be bilateral contract negotiations, you know, between the parties in the agreement in order to move forward on substance rather than discussing process. The paper also mentions that the GNSO at any time could undertake policy discussions, and I think it's important to differentiate that, you know, the registrar ICANN negotiations would address, you know, different implementations of existing policy, and the GNSO can undertakes new policy discussions as the, you know, especially as they apply to the RAA. So like Mason said, we met with ICANN staff and the Registrar Executive Committee met Saturday night and discussed how we could move forward and agree to a methodology by which ICANN and registrars could start negotiations right away on amendments to the registrar agreement, even discussed an accelerated timetable for that, and also discussed a methodology by which we would report out the results of the negotiation so they would be, you know, the results would be open. And also agreed that our first meeting would be about the rules for reporting out so that we could report out to the community. We could describe to the community how we're going to report out. And then later today, I think the registrars, as a constituency, approved that idea of starting negotiations right away. So we think this is a positive development that, we want to make it clear that negotiations between registrars and ICANN don't get in the way of existing policy work of the GNSO or any of the ongoing discussions there. And really, we've been talking about this for the last several weeks and even longer. And so this is really the end of that. It's not as a result of the discussions that have occurred here with GAC and law enforcement, but rather, I think both sides recognize the sense of urgency. So we view it as a positive development and wanted to report that to the board in preparation for the discussion we're having here and certainly when you talk to the GAC leader.
First.
Yeah, thanks, Kurt. And that's an encouraging development to see that work is proceeding. I just want to sort of note that I think there's a real risk at this event in particular, but also the build-up to it, in that there's a lot of frustration going on. It's coming out of the GAC, it's coming out of other members of the GNSO. And so the way that gets presented externally from ICANN is really this is just an example of how ICANN doesn't work. You know, the registrars and registries aren't capable of having discussions in good faith. They're using the rules, they're using their voting power. So really this model's not working. So we have two options. We go to individual governments and get them to create legislation, and certainly there will be a push for that after this meeting. And the second thing they do is they say ICANN should actually be brought in the UN and it should be an international organisation and it should be run by governments. So that's the risk, the real risk that we're facing here. So I think we need to make sure that in the way the registrars and the registries, particularly as members of the industry, are seen to be proactively working and making improvements and not being seen to be slowing things down. So I'm not trying to make a judgment of whether they're right or wrong. I'm just telling you that's what they're saying, and they will say that outside of this forum. I think you also need to recognise that while members of the Government Advisory Committee here might debate with you on some particular topic, outside of here, they are defenders of the multi-stakeholder model within their own governments. And so there are other people in those governments that much prefer the government just to tell us what to do. So, you need a degree of respect when you're dealing with the members here from the Government Advisory Committee that they might debate you on individual points, but they do support the ICANN model. And we need to help them make that a success. So that's the first point. Second point is we've got expectation management issues. So one of the frustrations I think people have is they want to make something happen fast, and they think the GNSO PDP is going to be too slow or is otherwise broken, so they don't use that. And suddenly we're turning the registration agreement into a policy forum instead of a registration agreement is an implementation of policy. The side effects of that are, one, the registrar agreements are five-year agreements. Even if you make a change today, for most cases, that won't come into effect for 3 years, and I doubt many people really understand that, because the agreements get renewed every 5 years. Many registrars renewed their agreement in 2009, and they're 2 years into a five-year agreement. So even if agreement was reached today on a change to the RAA, registrars don't actually have to comply for that for another 3 years, typically. Now, registrars may voluntarily do that. That's a separate issue. But I'm just saying, in terms of people wanting to use it as a tool, it's something that will have an impact in 3 years' time. Consensus policy, though, if they actually do that properly and you support them, consensus policy means that it has to be implemented, you know, within months of it being approved by the board. But the reason people don't trust the consensus policy model is they think that, you know, you guys are going to slow them down and actually deliberately play the game so that nothing happens. So I think there's a real responsibility on this group that definitely work with Kurt and making the changes that can be agreed. I mean, that's obviously very positive progress. But make sure you set the expectations that that doesn't necessarily mean something's going to change. And secondly, really try and make the GNSO work. Because if the GNSO is not working, that means ICANN's not working, and it means that ICANN should be got rid of. So yeah, there's a bigger, longer-term risk here in those issues.
Bruce, thank you very much. That's especially helpful insight. I'd like to say a couple of things about that on behalf of the registrars. I think that we agree that there is an expectation management issue within ICANN. And that the RAA is a contract between two parties and not a policymaking tool in the aggregate. I want to reiterate as well that registrars are very much committed and have been acting in good faith with the community. I think that you would find our difficulties with some of the intentions from parts of the community are based on differences in how the process is approached versus what the desired content outcomes are. Bruce, I believe, is correct that if there's frustration in the GNSO model about how long policy development takes, it's inappropriate to focus on using the RAA as a shortcut to achieve those objectives. Registrars have obligations to their own customers and to others that could be disrupted if the RAA is continually amended, really without without regard to the impact. So the registrars are committed, very committed, to good faith outcomes as much as we're committed to the multi-stakeholder model. So I do hope that we can get past the process difficulties and arrive at a meaningful set of agreements in a revised RAA. I'd like to speak candidly next as well about the GAC. So we the registrars had a difficult session with the GAC on Sunday. And I regret that session was very difficult. I think it resulted from two primary things. One was a misunderstanding on the part of the GAC about the responsibilities and rights that we have in our agreement and how we approach policy development. I look forward to working with the GAC on improving the gap in that knowledge. The second cause of that, I believe, was a failure on the registrar's part to understand how extensively and deeply the GAC expected to be consulted about issues that it found to be important. I recognize that as chair. I take responsibility for that, and I commit to improving that as well. So I hope that the GAC can understand that, and I look forward to helping improve that situation. So, Stefan.
Thanks, Mason. Yeah, I just wanted to just come back to both yours and Bruce's point about the GNSO, but not speaking either as GNSO chair or even as a member of this stakeholder group, but only as an individual that's invested, like many of us, a lot of time in this process over the years and possibly feels passionately that this current model is the one for the internet, is the one that will allow the internet to be the best that it can be. And I think that there's a temptation that we're all seeing for people that don't get what they want to call the model, whatever it is. It could be the GNSO today. It could be something else tomorrow, and it's been other things in the past, to call that model broken. And I think it's also, and I think that's the gist of what both Bruce and Mason were saying, but I think it's also the case that it's up to us also to explain why this model is good, why it works. Yes, it does take time. Sometimes it does take time to develop policy in a certain way. The PDP process at GNSO level is sometimes lengthy. Why is it lengthy? Because it's all inclusive, because it tries to include all stakeholders, not just the registrars, not just the business constituency, for example, but everybody. And that all-inclusive model is something that I think is of great benefit to all of us in the ICANN community. I'm just a businessman from France. I could, you know, if we're talking about other areas of governance, I can't get into that. I can't have a word apart from putting a ballot when it comes to vote in my country. Here, I can be an active participant. I can bring my expertise. Such that it is, and I can bring my experience. And that, I feel very passionately, should be upheld, should be preserved, and should be defended. So I understand that some people would like to have that perception that because they're not seeing progress fast enough, or they're not getting exactly what they want quickly enough, that there's that temptation to just say everything's broken, let's just get rid of it. I think it's up to us to defend that idea as well and to make sure that we are clear in why this model works and why it's so important.
Thank you, Stefan. We have a comment or a question from Tim Ruiz, one of our GNSO counselors on the phone. Tim, please go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to respond off. I guess Stefan hit on a lot of what I was going to say, but I was just concerned about the implication that some think the GNSO doesn't work. It actually has worked very well. There are recommendations that have recently been forwarded to the board in regards to the transfer policy, changes in it, changes in the post-expiry domain name, recovery policies regarding that. So the GNSO and the council system works, but because there's a single issue, and that is in regards to how the RAA is amended, with that single issue, there's been a lack of agreement between contracted parties and others as to how that gets resolved. And I think that one issue should not be used to as an example that the GNSO simply doesn't work. I think that's an overstatement. But we are trying to move forward. We had some false starts, perhaps over the last couple of years, but I think we've got a way forward with taking care of the requests from the community in regards to some of the changes that are needed in the RAA, and registrars want to move forward and take care of that. So I think maybe progress has been slow in that regard, but it is moving forward. But it should not be indicative that the council or the GNSO as a whole is broken in any way.
Tim, thank you. Bertrand?
Yeah.
Kurt, you have the yeah.
Yeah. This is Bertrand Lachapelle. We're here to speak candidly, and I could not overemphasize too much what Bruce has said. Everything he has said is true, and it's a very important moment. The frustration is not only in the communities that he's mentioned. The frustration is also in the WHOIS review working group, and that's a bad sign. It's an important process coming from the ASO, the Affirmation of Commitment. We have a problem today in the structure of the GNSO and the way the mechanisms function. The structure in two houses, and I was an observer when I was in the GAC in the working group that actually came up with this two structure. Let's be honest, its main purpose is to be a mutual deterrence structure so that no house can impose something on the other. However, on the other hand, it is not providing consensus, and it is fostering the capacity to block in many cases, which is a major danger, because for all the reasons that Bruce has mentioned, today we are in this unbelievable situation where the very tool, the policy development process, that should be bringing actors together, in spite of their differences, to reach consensus, is now used somehow, if I understand correctly, from the outside, almost as a threat. The way it is perceived for people who are outside of your close debate is, don't bother me, otherwise I will launch a PDP and you will be in the black hole for 10 years. I'm caricaturing, of course. But when the tool that is supposed to foster community is being used as something that will not, then it produces what Bruce is mentioning as the risk of getting around. It can be regulation or it can be any other kind of other working groups. Now, to get into something more operational as a closing, as I said, I think in the same meeting in, I think it was Singapore, the registrar accreditation agreement is a contract between two parties. However, to make an analogy, the INR contract is going also to be a contract between two parties. Does that mean that the fact that the NTIA has made an open process and that fundamentally the whole debate has been followed very broadly is not much better than being just the two parties behind closed doors? Of course it's better to make it open. The fact that it is in the end a contract between two parties does not mean that the whole process should be exclusively between the two parties. The registrars do not own the responsibility to negotiate this document. It is something, and I'm very, very, I may be alone in this, and I may be an absolute radical. The registrar accreditation agreement is an element in a general framework of policy, that is the implementation of a policy, and it is the result of something that is in the global public interest. And therefore, the way it is elaborated may take, in the end, the form of a contract between the two parties, but it is not exclusively the right. Now, I'm not that much a radical. I understand it is one piece in a larger thing, and the policy should be more important. But the problem is that now the policy mechanism is not trusted, and as it is not trusted, as you said, the instrument that should be much minor and just implementation is now used as a substitute of policy. The bottom line is this week is an extremely important week. We're reaching a boiling point that is putting the whole model at stake. So there is an element of restoring trust. I don't have a solution, but this is a major week.
Stefan.
Don't want to make this an all French argument. No, I just want to say that I understand what you're saying, obviously. I don't think that the PDP process has been used as a threat. There may be perception. I'd say that perception ran the other way when there was other PDPs on the table that people were using to their own advantage. So I think all I'm saying is I think it's important to remember that the model itself stays the same. Sometimes the issues go one way, sometimes they go the other. To your points about the contract negotiations and your analogy to the IANA contract, we are dealing with public resources. I don't see ICANN, although it has no power to do so, and I understand that, asking the French registry to open up its negotiations with the French government. But it's a national resource. I don't have a say in it, but I'd like to. I'm a .fr internet user, and I can't even get in the room. So I just want to make sure we don't oversimplify the situation when we give examples. I think the warning that you're giving us is very important, and I think we should be grateful for you taking the time to explain what the situation is outside of the room, because we're getting viewpoints that are very useful to us. And you're right, we probably do have tunnel vision a lot of the time because we're stuck in our own everyday to-day business, and you can bring that outside vision. But I just want to make sure we don't characterize things in a way that sometimes, by oversimplifying, feels like criticism where it's not due.
All right, we have a short queue here, and then I might suggest we'll move on to a different topic because our time is starting to run short. I have Tim Ruiz on the phone, then followed by Jeff, and then Steve. Tim, please go ahead.
I don't agree, Bertrand, with the generalization you made about the structure of the GNSO, the two-house system. The balance in votes between contracted parties and non-contracted parties existed long before the two-house system. And in fact, when I was involved in many of the discussions on the registrar side when the two-house system was being designed, and I can assure you that one of the overall concerns wasn't how do we make the system so that we can block each other. It was how do we design the system so that no one stakeholder group or constituency can block something. That was a major concern, and that reasoning went into the design. I think it sort of belittles the work of everyone involved in that restructuring to imply that anything else was true there. When we signed our RAA, to speak to the other part of your comment, when we signed our RAA, we did so with the understanding that there was a set of issues that could be open to consensus policy. And we didn't know, what the policy would be, how it would come out, but we blindly agreed to that, knowing that policy could come out, but we don't know what it is, but we're going to have to be bound to it, whatever it is, when it happens. There was no indication or implication until more recently that others thought the entire RAA was open to consensus policy. It's two completely different things, and I don't understand how we can have, the very explicit consensus policy process and the items that are open to it, defined within the agreement, yet on the other hand, the whole thing is open. We're not saying we want to completely close off any communication with the community in our negotiations of the amendments to the RAA. And we're completely open to anything that belongs in the PDP process to be put there. But for those things not, we feel that those should be negotiations between the two parties to the agreement, certainly that at a later date and along the way, we can entertain comment from the community as we make progress. So that's our intention. I think it's a reasonable way forward, and hopefully that'll help appease some of the concerns that have been raised recently.
Thank you, Tim. Jeff?
Thanks. Jeff Eckhouse here. So I just wanted to respond to, a response to what Bertrand had said and to expand a little bit on what Kurt had mentioned and to explain to the board and the community that this RAA amendment negotiations will not be some, backroom negotiations. We have a plan for a process where we will report out on a timely basis on the topics that were discussed, what the status updates to the community, as well as following it would be the board's lead on providing rationale for the decisions that we have made at the end of it. So we really do plan on letting everyone know what is going on, what is happening, what's being discussed. And, of course, I believe this part of this will be open for public comment at the end of this. So this is not going to be some closed deal where we suddenly report it's signed, it's done. This will be an open process where people will know what is going on and they will be informed.
Steve?
So I'm trying to say something with some firmness but with some balance. There's an enormous amount of good work that has been done within the GNSO. I know the amount of energy, I know the progress that's been made on a number of fronts. And that said, we have a common problem. It's an unbalanced situation, and we all experience this in many situations in life, that any number of good works are overshadowed by a very small set of examples, even one sometimes, of something that is attention-getting and negative. All together, all of us in ICANN have unhappy customers, and we have to deal with that one way or another. The customers in this case are the users, the law enforcement, the world at large. And if you look at the transcript that we've just accumulated in this session here and do a content and dialogue analysis, I think you'll find that a very large fraction of the discussion is about process issues. The process is working, the process isn't working, we've handled the process, we were guaranteed these, and so forth. The fundamental test and the standard that we're going to be held to is, are we effective? Are we getting the job done? And we can and we must respect the process, but we also have to have a very strong sensitivity to whether or not we're also effective. The board is many times been admonished not to substitute itself in making policy, not to go and do the work of the component organizations, and to be respectful of the bottom-up process. And we subscribe to that, and I subscribe to that very strongly. Our primary job is to oversee that the processes are followed, that they're fair, and so forth. But there is an additional responsibility, and the additional responsibility is, at the end of the day, we also have to be effective. And if we're not effective, if the processes involved are not effective, then an alarm bell goes off, and we have to look at why, and we have to go and make whatever adjustments we have to be made to do that. It is not okay to be stalled and ineffective, else we will all be overrun, it will be immaterial whether or not the process was the right process or whether or not multi-stakeholderism is a good idea or not. It just will get washed away. So that's the mood that we have to convey. And the next level of engagement gets to be messier. I think you've heard pretty clearly that the time is now, and one way or another, we're going to have to get a solution as opposed to a discussion about process. Much less interested in reports or time frames or so forth, much more interested in reaching points of resolution of the outstanding problems. Thanks.
Well, thank you, Steve. I think on behalf of the registrars, I think that we could agree that we understand the problem and we're committed to the outcome. So I don't think that you're going to find hesitation on the part of the registrars to help address the needs of the community in a way that's beneficial for the entire organization. All right. We have several other items that we can cover. I might suggest, since I haven't seen this on the board's agenda before in terms of contributions from registrars, I might suggest that we talk about the issue of takedowns. The board asked us for some input about the registrar's role in a domain name takedown versus a registry's role. I might just open that up to the floor a bit, maybe to the registrars to talk about procedures that they know to be in place and how effective or ineffective those are. Can I open the floor for that, please? Bruce? Thank you very much, Bruce.
Well, I have a question, actually. We heard from the registries earlier, and they pointed out some of the registries take various actions to complaints. But it would be kind of interesting, just sort of the show of hands on a couple of points. How many registrars, when they're contacted about a phishing complaint, have a takedown process? Just raise your hand if you have a takedown process for phishing complaints. Okay, maybe not as many as I would have hoped.
Well, and how many do not?
Yeah.
We have 100% have takedown processes.
Yeah, but I mean, it's what I'm trying to get at is that a lot of these things, a lot of the industry does have stuff in place. And how many people take action against malware and other forms of sort of malicious conduct and have a process in place for dealing with that? Yeah, Okay, I thought I was being slow. And I guess that's part of the message in that the issue that people have concerns over is that, as Steve said, what about the ones that do not? We need as an industry to be able to say, yes, you know, we actually do these things and we have it as a policy or whatever. Because there are some people that aren't in this room that maybe don't have those processes, and that's what causes us all the problems.
Other input? Wow, I thought this would be a good topic. Oh, Jeff, okay.
Thanks, Jeff Beckhouse here. So I guess, Mason, you brought this up, and I don't know if it was something that we had brought up or others had, but has there been a large number of complaints about registrars not taking down names or, you know, what are the specifics involved? I know because for our company, you know, we have a very large number of domains under management, and we receive a large number of takedown requests, and a lot of them, you know, for the ones who come from either law enforcement or from valid organizations, maybe like Spam House or groups along those lines that are trusted, we take those down. I think maybe some of the complaints people might be hearing are from, you know, individual private citizens that are saying, you know, they have a problem with this domain. This person has information about me that I don't like, and then you need to take it down. And that, you know, for us, we're sort of caught in a situation because they haven't done anything illegal. It's just the person doesn't like what's on that website. So I'm not sure, you know, the issue of takedowns, is it because of malware or phishing takedowns that you're hearing that? Because I know most registrars will comply with those immediately. I think the issue that I've heard about takedowns are from when individuals, you know, who are self-appointed crime fighters send in information, you know, with no actual evidence, send it in and say, well, I think it is, and then people don't, and they say, well, they're not taking down domain names. And suddenly, you know, you're painted as somebody who's non-compliant. So I'd love to hear, you know, from the board or maybe from other people, you know, what are some of the issues that you've been hearing or complaints about takedowns? Is it, you know, that people aren't following law enforcement or court orders or something along those lines?
This is Bertrand LaChapelle. Thank you, Jeff. Two elements in that, and thanks for the comments. One first question is operationally, as a constituency, is it a possibility to go and have a systematic, maybe you have, systematic action to generalize among all the registrars that are known, accessible, and whatever, the practice, and to basically have a way to track how the practice, that is obviously the practice within this room, is spread or not. Because the concern is exactly as Steve said, the problem is that the image of the whole constituency is predated not fundamentally on the ones who do things right, but of course of the ones that do not. The second point, and that goes to your question, is that there is a very delicate balance in all those questions of takedowns. First of all, between the nature of the requests, I mean, if it is child abuse images, it's not the same as it is intellectual property rights and things like that. And within that distinction, there is also another dimension, which is the very delicate balance of being very responsive when there are good requests, but also not overreacting to requests that are illegitimate, even from apparently law enforcement agencies or legal entities that are abusing the power. And in the fundamental problem that is emerging at the moment is the transborder authority that is a burden on you when you are located in one country and the law of that country is requesting to block, I mean, you know, the Rota Directa thing. So this is a debate that I think we need to have among the community within ICANN, because there's a jurisdictional question behind that that is a problem for everybody. It's not a question of good or bad actors. It's a real cooperation question.
Very good point, Bertrand. We have Elliot and McKaylee.
Is this working? Yes, Bertrand. There's two points there that I think should be teased out. The first is as to whether this could or should be systematic. I would strongly urge that that would be negative in a lot of respects. One of the ways that the system is able to be effective, when you think about something like phishing, a lot of it today depends upon two things. One is speed, and two is a set of very specific relationships. So when we have certain people inside of our organization who know certain people inside of banks or PayPal, that allows them to react incredibly quickly and effectively. And to systematize that would do two things. One, require us to go to what I would argue would be a significantly lower standard. Two, be extremely difficult to enforce against the people that you want to affect that against. And so I'd urge you to think about it from that perspective. And the second is with respect to these cross-border issues. I think these are two things. Some of the thorniest problems that we face, you see this especially now with some of the steps in the United States that are that the registries are affecting. We're very frustrated by that because it's taking a lot of that discretion out of our hands, and it's imposing on us as Canadians a standard that's way lower than we would affect for what I would call relatively non-urgent intellectual property issues often. The second thing there, and I think this is thematic and something we should look for in a number of places, what we're seeing here, what you all were talking about with the GAC and GNSO and the relook at the RAA, we're looking for, and the GAC is looking for, and governments are looking for, their proper role in relation to the Internet. The single biggest role and responsibility, and you'll hear me talking about this again later in the week, the single biggest role and responsibility and contribution that governments can make to this process, that nation states can make to this process, is to take a significant amount of their time and energy and focus on these cross-border issues. Because at the end of the day, 10 registrars from 10 different countries can sit and talk about it till we're blue in the face. But we are dealing with jurisdictional issues and law enforcement issues and legal issues that only those nation states can really make stick. And so I think that, all of us in the ICANN community really have to both, first of all, help the GAC, the people who participate here, to understand that, and second of all, to help them take that issue back to their nation states and to get them to participate and start to really, not in treaty-type negotiations, but in multi-stakeholder-type situations, approach those issues. Thanks.
Michaela?
Thanks, Mason. I mean, it's this thing about the domain takedowns. I mean, it's a very interesting and hot topic, and for those of who were at the DNS Abuse Forum yesterday, there was some very interesting views put forward. Some might have been quite shocking, while others were, they were what we expected. Dealing with phishing, badware, malware, those kind of things, I think that's something that is relatively easy and it's non-controversial. Unfortunately, we in industry probably haven't done as good a job of adopting best practices, but there has been a lot of movement in that area, and I know that there will be more in the future. Elliot raises a very, very valid point when it comes to this cross-border element, because, for example, yesterday in the DNS Abuse Forum, we had a lady, I believe, from Malaysia who wanted to block domains within an hour or 2 hours. And other people from the non-contracted house have very real, significant concerns with respect to free speech. For me, as a hosting provider and domain registrar, I end up as piggy in the middle, which is not exactly the ideal position to be in. And I do not have a company turning over billions of dollars. So, if I end up stuck in the middle. Eventually, I have to cede to whoever has the bigger bank account and the more expensive lawyers. And it has happened to us in the past. And I think it is something that this is going to become more and more of an issue. But if we can decouple the serious crime, in other words, child porn, those kind of topics, where there is 100% agreement, if we can decouple the phishing scams, the identity theft, and of those things from the intellectual property, then there might be some hope of some progress. But asking me as a registrar and a hosting provider to adjudicate on the copyright issues, which is basically, for lack of a better word, a pissing match between two third parties, that is not reasonable. And if that continues to happen, it's going to become much, much harder for those of us in industry. And the silly thing is, we're having this conversation within the GNSO space, where we're talking about GTLDs. When it comes to CCTLDs, this is a huge issue, but the jurisdiction doesn't come into play because they'll just pull the domain or do whatever they want, and that's it. So I think, you know, it's a very interesting debate, and it's one that I've personally am very engaged with. And for those of you who are in Vienna next week, you'll get to hear me rabbiting on about dealing with malware. Thanks.
All right, thank you, Michele. We have just a few moments left. I might suggest that we take up the topic of the ethics guidelines. The board asked if there were two or three issues on the minds of registrars with regard to the ethics guidelines issue. Would we care to open that up for contribution? Or not? Okay. Steve, we're about out of time. Anything else you'd like to cover while we're here?
Did I see a hand go up down there?
No.
I'm good if you guys are. We've made a point of structuring these engagements to be as contentful as possible, to dispense with a lot of formalities and flour. I think you'll agree we got right into issues this time. Happy to have feedback on any ways that we can improve things in the future. And I'm very pleased that the turnout here is quite good. Thanks.
Thank you very much. A couple of things. I know there were some topics we did not get to. If the board is particularly interested in hearing from registrars on those, we'd be happy to follow up in writing or over email, whatever you might find useful. Looks like this evening we're all meeting for cocktails, so we look forward to that. And I just want to say something publicly to the board, if I may. This came up a bit earlier. The registrars would like to say to the board in a public way that we want to thank the ICANN staff, in particular some of the people that do a great deal of work to support us, the policy staff, the registrar liaison staff, the event staff here this week. Always do an outstanding job in helping us get our work done. So we just wanted to make a public note of thanking them and their good work. And on that note, we'll say thank you for your time, and we'll talk again soon.
Mason, that's very gracious of you, and I think the staff is often underappreciated, and I know Rod feels very strongly about that. So on behalf of the staff, let me say thank you. Equally, I think you've been putting in a huge amount of effort and been very effective. This is what you said your last day, and rescuing you from this small effort and putting you into deeper water, right? So a round of applause for Mason, I think.
Thank you.